Today's daf is Rav Basra daf Samach Beis. We left off on daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis yesterday. We are holding on Samach Aleph Amud Beis at Kiman Az. The last one on the line is Kiman, about 10-12 lines before the end of the page. Says the Gemara, Kiman Az La Hadam Rav Mari, Bradabas Shmuel. What's the Gersa? Bradabas Shmuel. Yeah, that's it. Bradabas Shmuel. Mishmei da Abaye. Hai man de mezavni le midi le chavri tzarech le michtav le lo shiaris bizvini alin kadami klum. Who do we assume like? Who is it going like? That which Rav Mari Bradabas Shmuel says in the name of Abaye, that when someone sells a land to his friend, he has to write in the shtar that I'm not leaving anything over for myself, meaning that I'm making the sale complete, I'm giving over everything in the sale. So, Kiman, Krav Nachman Amra Baravua. It's exactly like Rav Nachman Amra Baravua that we had yesterday. Why? What did Rav Nachman Amra Baravua say? So, if you look at the Rashbam at the bottom, on the first wide line, Kiman, Krav Nachman Amra Baravua, Demishum Desvirle, Daminun Bi Alma, Mitzarim Hirchavlo, because Rav Nachman Amra Baravua holds that in general we say that when you set boundaries and you identify boundaries in the shtar, all you're really doing is exaggerating the boundaries. You're not giving the exact borders of the land that you're selling. Hilchach takinu lichtav kein to lo litar mocher mitzarim rechavti v'yafsu lokeach. So therefore, if you're actually selling the whole property, there will be a second that you have to write, I'm not leaving anything for myself, because otherwise you can always say, mitzarim rechavti, I was just giving a nice exaggeration to make it sound nice, but I didn't actually mean to sell the entire property. So in order to avoid any such confusion, when you do sell the entire property, you have to write such a lashon that everything identified in this shtar, I'm leaving nothing for myself. Everything is going over to you. The question is, do we pass like that la halacha? So the Meiri writes, it's dafka. You only have to write this in a place where it's possible that there will be a suffix in terms of what's included in the sale. Meaning it's dafka because there's such a concept of mitzarim mirchavti. So that's why we write such a lashon in the shtar. But if there's no such concern of any confusion, it's very clear exactly what you're selling. So then there's no need to write such a lashon in the shtar. The tour in Chosh Mishpat from Kufta Zayin, tour says that hamocher karka. Tov hu sheyichtov v'lo shiati libizvini alin klum. That when you sell karka, it's good to write such a lashon. That they're masakin this nusach in order to stay out of any sveikos or any problems whatsoever. So the Bach is just medayik that the Gemara says tsarich limichtav, and the Torah says tov sheyichtov. So the Taz says, but probably the Torah means the same thing as the Gemara, meaning that even though he changes the Lashon a little bit, the Rambam does not change the Lashon. The Rambam has a Lashon of Tzarech Lichtov Lo. But the point is that it's not that there's an absolute chiyuv to write it, it's to avoid confusion. And if you don't write it, so the guy will always be able to make a taina, that mitzarim merchavti lo, if that's possible in the given sale. So that's why it's as an ideal in shtari mecher, this is suggested in halacha. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Hu damle lechavrei. The guy says to his friend, Ara de Bechia mezavnan alach. I'm selling you the Ara de Bechia. So he has some land that is that he had purchased from Rabbi Chia, and Ara is a lashon yachid. I'm selling you a land that I purchased from Rabbi Chia. So havai le tarti arasa dav miskarin de Bechia. The problem is he owned two lands that he actually had purchased from Rabbi Chia. So the shaila was, does he mean to sell both, or does he mean to sell one of the lands? So Amar Ravashi, chad amar le tarti lo amar le. No, he only meant to sell one of the lands. He did not mean to sell both of the lands. So since he said Ara, he said it as a lashon of a singular. So it's dafka one land and not two lands. Now the Amrle Arasa Stama Miut Arasa Shtayim. But if he says Arasa, so then we always assume that Miut of Arasa is we take out the word Stama. Actually, the Bach takes out the word Stama because it doesn't make sense over here. Right? I mean, the point is we're trying to distinguish between Ara and Arasa. Ara is one land, Arasa is multiple lands. So how many multiple? So we assume that it's no less than two, obviously. But we also, if you want to get more than two out of him, Motzi Mechaver Ola Faraya. So we're going to assume that it's two lands. If he has five lands, but he says Arasa, he only has to give two, because of Miut Arasa Ishtayim. The Amarle, but if he says Kol Arasa, he says all of my lands, then Kalarasa de Isle, the Barmi Bustani Pardise. Then it includes all lands except for gardens and orchards, because those are apparently not called Ara, right? Those are called something else. Viyamale Ziyara, but if he says my properties, Ziyara means more than just lands that that are used for grain or whatever. It's a lashon that's more inclusive than Afilu Bustani Pardisi, the Bar Mibati Va'avdi. Then it would even include the Bustani Pardisi, the gardens and the vineyards, and it just would not include houses and slaves. Viyamale Nichsai, but if he says my Nichasim, Afilu Bati Va'avdi, then that's a lashon that includes Batim and Avadim as well. That includes houses and slaves as well. Now, says Tosos, we said in our Gemara, if you say Arasa, that's plural, and therefore we assume that you mean to give two lands. Even if you have 10, you only have to give two. Says Tosos, Vadam Rav Shoel, Hayman Demashal Maru Lechavre Lemirpak Be Pardesi, Rafik Be Kol Pardesi De Islay. The Gemara tells us in Ashoel and Babmetzia that if I borrow, let's say, a plow from you, and you say, well, what do you want to use this plow for? And I say, well, I'm going to use it to plow my fields or my orchards. So I'm allowed to do all my fields, all my orchards. I'm not limited to two, even though miut orchards shtayim. So maybe we should say, Amotzi Mechaver Lavrai, if I want to use your plow for more than two, I should prove to you that I should have to prove that you gave me permission for more than two. So why don't we say, V'loma Pardasi Tarti Mashma? We don't say that Pardasi, even though it's plural, means two and no more than two. We say, I'm allowed to use it for whatever I want. So why over here, when we're selling Arasa, do we assume it's two and no more than two? So it says Tosfos, Hasam derechu shemashe lekol mashet tzarech. Avlacha b'shul shiim kardam shtei sodos leim kol kol sadosav. So you have to look at each case. Over there, when I lend you a plow, obviously you want to use it for all your fields, for everything that you need it for. So that's understood in the loan. But when you sell something, just because you're selling one thing, doesn't mean you're selling everything you own. So therefore, we're more likely to assume on a sale that it's a lesser amount that's being sold. Whereas when you're borrowing a plow, the assumption is you can use that plow for whatever you need it. The Yesh Mefarshim, and some say no. Tahasim yada mashil ala tachtona, the shoal muchsak. It's not an issue of a she'ela being different than a mecha or anything. No, it's an issue of who's the muchzak in it, who's the one that has the chazaka. That the mashil, in the case where I'm lending something, the guy who's lending has the lower hand, because the borrower is the muchzak. Aval hacha, yad, why is he the muchzak? Because he's holding on to it. He's the one with the plow in his hand. Aval hacha, yad lokecha, tachtam shamuchar muchzak. But over here, in any land that's in question, who's the muchzak? It's the marakama. The land doesn't go anywhere. It's still exactly where it is. And the last guy to have a chazaka is the marakama. He's the last known owner of that land. So therefore, he's going to have the upper hand because he's the muchzak. Ve'ein nira l'ri, but the Ri rejects this. Tahasim nami hol v'sof alach sol l'bale have a mashal muchzak. The Ri doesn't like the definition as of the shoel as the muchzak. The designation of the shoel as a muchzak. How can you say the shoel is the muchzak? The shoel will admit to you it doesn't belong to him. So who's the last known owner of that plow? It's clearly the mashil. It's just the shoel happens to be holding on to it right now. So he says, it can't be. Now we're going to call the shoel the muchzak. Why is karka always considered in the chazaka of the last known owner? Because we always assume it's eventually going to go back to the bailim. So too over here, when you borrow something, it's always going to go back to the person. If you just skip down to the bottom of Tosos, Tosos says v'rivam mechalik bein pardesi la arasa v'achinami I amar mikarkai haviyam akol karkal shiyesh lo kenuch kaman v'mishemes. The rivam is mechalik between when you say pardesi and when you say arasa. In our Gemara, we're saying arasa, miut arasa ishtayim. That when you say arasa, it means lands, and that's two and no more. But pardesi, plural, would include all the pardesim, and that's the real difference. It's not a difference between the case of a she'ela and a mecher. It's a case of a difference between a pardes and an arasa. Now, had you said mekarkai, so then in a chinami would include all the karkos, but you didn't say mekarkai, you said arasa. Arasa only includes two. So that's one point. Another quick point, the Gemara had said that if you say Ziyara, then it even includes Bustani Pardesi. So what does that mean, it even includes Bustani Pardesi? If you say that I'm selling you Ziyara, I have to give you what? All my Bustani Pardesi? So the Rishonim point out that when you say Ziyara, you don't have to give all the Bustani Pardesi. It just means that you have to give one of each kind. If you say I'm giving you Ziyara, or if you say I'm giving you two of my Ziyara, so you're going to have to give two of each kind, two things that are included in the category of lands that are identified as a Ziyara. Okay, the Tosos on the top Samach Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara had said Yamalei Nichse Afilu Bati Vavdi, that when you say Nichasim Nichsai, it even includes Batim and Avadim. So says Tosos, Avol Metaltalin Lo. But nechassim does not include metaltalin. The afligav d'amr b'misha meis kol nechsay l'ploni glima ikri nechsi. Even though it says in Perek Misha Meis that when you say kol nechsay l'ploni, even a shirt is included. So and that implies that nechsay includes even metaltalin. Right over here, we're saying that it includes batim and avadim, not metaltalin. So what's the difference? So it says Tosos a couple of possibilities. First of all, lashon nechsay shiny, demash meribo yoser mi nechsi. The hacha, that there could be a difference between nechsi and nechasai. Nechasai might include even metaltalin. Nechsi might not include metaltalin, it'll only include batim vavadim. Aval ein lechalik, but says also don't make the following chalik. Mishum dehasam amar kol nechsai. That over there it says kol nechsai, and kol nechsai would mean even metaltalin, whereas over here you don't say kol. He says that's not the chalik. Dimkein, havle lechalik hasam, kedim lechalik hasam be metaltalin lekol metaltali. Then it should have made that chalik over there, just like the Gemara over there makes the chalik between saying metaltali and saying kol metaltali. It doesn't make that chalik when it comes to nechsai, and therefore we assume that that's not the chilik. The chilik is not whether you say kol or not. Va'od yesh lomar, another possible chilik is tahasamayri b'matana, to buy in yafin osin v'hacha b'mecher. That it's not an issue of nichsai, nichsi, it's not kol or not kol, it doesn't make, they are the same lashon. The difference is the context that you say it. If you say it in a context of matana, so then we assume when you're nosin matana, it's ba'ayin yafa hu nosin, you're giving it with a generous eye, and since you're trying to be generous, so the natural assumption is that it will include as much as that word could possibly include, which would mean even metaltalin. But over here we're talking about selling something. The assumption when you sell something is that you're giving exactly what you have to give and no more. And therefore we're not going to assume that you mean to give whatever might be included in that word. Rather, you only intend to give batim avadim, but not metaltalim. Okay, now you see all these diagrams on the page. It's not as confusing as the diagrams sometimes scare you. It's really not that confusing. Says the Gemara, Meitzer lo meitzer echad aruch meitzer echad katzer. Let's say I identify the field I'm going to give you, and on the east side of the field, I tell you I'm giving you, I identify the border as a border that's 100 amos long. And on the west side of the field, I identify a border that's 50 amos long. So what did I intend to give you? Do I intend to give you a field that's 50 amos, 100 amos, somewhere in between? What does that include? So Amar Rav, lo kana lo keneged hakatzer. Rav says, it's a 50 amos field. You cut it off at where the shorter border ends. If you look at the top diagram on the right-hand side of the page, I would have drawn it sideways the other way, but if you right, you see that where he draws the line down the middle, that's what you get, right? You only get the way Rashi draws it, the right side, and not the left side of the field. You draw that line down the middle, and that's all you get according to Rav. Amru le Rav Kahana Ravasi le Rav. So Rav Kahana Ravasi say to Rav, v'yikna keneged rosh tur. Why don't you draw a diagonal? Make a triangle. Right, draw a diagonal to cut it off, and that would be fair, meaning because you made two borders, one is twice as long as the other, just draw a diagonal from the one border to the other, and maybe that's what he intended to be kona. Shasik Rav. So Rav didn't say anything. So says the Gemara, what does that mean, that shasik Rav, first of all? So the Gemara didn't say anything, but the Gemara's next line is, Umoda Rav heichadika meitza ruvein v'shimon michad gisa, umeitza levi v'yehuda michad gisa, midahavale l'michtav meitza d'ruvein k'neged levi, d'shimon k'neged yehuda, v'lo kasavlei, shmamina k'neged rosh tor huda amalei. The Rav is Moda, if you look at the third diagram on the page, that where you have Ruvein and Shimon directly across from Levi and Yehuda, and you say, on the top border, I'm giving you Reuven and Shimon. On the bottom border, I'm giving you the Yehuda, the border of Yehuda, and you don't say Levi. Now, if you only wanted to give half the field, what should you have said? I'm giving you the field that borders on Yehuda and Shimon. Why would you mention Reuven? If you wanted to give the whole thing, you should have mentioned Levi also. So Rav is moda in that case that you would draw the triangle. You would draw the line at an angle, and that would be all that you give. In that situation, Rav would be moda. The question is, if Rav already was moda, by Shasik Rav, what does the Gemara then say Rav is moda in this case? Rav was moda even in the previous case, where it was one guy on each side, and it wasn't two guys on each side. The Rashbam, if you look at the Rashbam, Moda Rav writes, Mikami de Ishtik, Aval Basar de Ishtik Odi Betravayu. The Rashbam says, yeah, when we say Moda Rav, it means that was before Rav was already Moda, but on the whole thing. Meaning initially, even with his original opinion, he was Moda in this case where there are two people on each border, but now that he was Shosek, he's Moda on everything. Because Rav being Shosek, we assume, Shtika Kodai, he's Moda that even when there's only one person on each border, you draw Keneged Rosh Tur, and that's the Halacha. That's what the Gemara assumes. If you look at Tosos, Dibra Maskel, Moda Rav, says Tosos, Moda Rav, Pirush Bekuntras, Kodem Shashasak, Mashma de Beshasak, Moda Luhu. So, says Tosos, clearly the Rashbam understands that when Rav was Shosek, he was Moda entirely. That Rav's shtika is to be taken as a hoda'a. Now, can you understand it any other way? So Tos says, you know what? We have a lot of Gemaras where shtika is not considered like a hoda'a. Afal gavdil kaman, shasak, and it should be, the girsa should be rabba. Shasak rabba l'abai, afal gavdil hodalo, shalocha shlashivo. Even though when rabba is shosek to abai's question, it's not because rabba was Moda to abai, it's because he just didn't want to respond. Over here, you can't say that. I mean, as enticing as it is to say that Rav, when he was Shosek, was not Modeh, he was just being stubborn and didn't want to respond, you can't say that over here. Because the Rav Kana Ravasi have a Kumot Talmidei Chaver L'Rav, Kedamrinan, De L'Savrei Lo Havetzrichi, Barov Mekomos, Rav Modeh, Keshashasek Lehem. The Gemara Sanhedrin says that Rav Asi and Rav Kahana were Talmidim Chaverim of Rav. They didn't even require his analysis, they just needed his knowledge, that they were very strong in their own analysis. So they were Talmidim Chaverim of Rav, and therefore it's not Shaykh that someone of that stature is going to ask you a question and you're Lo Chash LaHashivo, meaning when someone who's beneath you asks a question, okay, so you don't have to respond to every yokel who wants to ask who asks a question. But when someone of major authority asks a question, you better respond if you want your opinion to be taken seriously. So the fact that Rav did not respond over here is not because Rav was lo chash l'ashivo, it's because Rav must have been moda. Uberov becomes Rav Moda, Kishashasaklam. We find in a lot of places in Shas Rav is Moda when he's Shosek. Parakamad Babakama, Gabayin Shom Lodagan of Lodagazlan, etc. Parakamad Beitza, he says, Ezu Neshech. He takes you on a little tour through Shas. We find a lot of places that when Rav is Shosek to them, to these people in particular, that Rav is really Moda to them. So says, Tosu Mashad, Bekal Hanu, Delomapne Shalochash Lahashiv Shosek, Elm Resha Hoda. So we see that when Rav is Shosek to them, it's not because he doesn't want to respond, it's simply because he's moda to them, he agrees to them. However, predictably, there are Rishonim that disagree. There are Rishonim that write, and an impressive list of Rishonim, I might add, Rav Haigon, Rabbi Natam in the Sefer Yashar, the Rav Von, Yad Ramah, Rashba in the name of Yesh Omrim, it's possibly the Shita of the Rambam, in Hilchus Mechira Perichof Aleph Halacha Yud Gimel, an impressive list of Rishonim that disagree, and they say that Rav maintained his opinion that he received from his Rebbeim, and even though he was Shosek, it does not indicate that his shtika does not indicate hodah. His shtika just indicates that lo chash la'ashivam. And based on this, many of these Rishonim paskin like Rav, that based on the fact that that he maintained his opinion, so the halacha would be like Rav. And the Sefer Yashar, Ben Tam writes in Sefer Yashar that Rav had an answer. But and what was his answer? His answer was, what are you kidding? That he really meant to be makanim karka that goes on an angle? Who sells karka at an angle? You sell a nice piece of karka. That's a very unusual thing to do. It's totally not common to sell karka in that way. But Rav figured they could probably figure that out on their own. Meaning it was such an obvious type of response. It wasn't like any major lumdus that he was going to respond with. It was just like, come on, that's not how people sell land. So he figured they should figure that out on their own. So Rav was shosek on that point. But not again, not because he was moded to them, but because he maintained a disagreement. The Chavis Yair is an interesting tshuva in Kufnun Beis. Actually, just quoted this tshuva in the Tuesday night shiur. We were discussing on Na'as Devarim, talking in a mean way to people, and just being menschlich and nice in the way that we speak. So the Chavis Yair is a tshuva that where he basically discusses why weren't Chazal nice to each other, right? That in a lot of places, Domali Kamishay Lamach Bekarkado, he's like a guy who has no brain in his head. It's as if this guy never learned a day in his life. They have all these lines that are really charif, that are very, very sharp. So he discusses in the context of that tshuva, Rav being shosik. Someone asks you a question, and you just sit there quietly. So truth is, the Rambam paskins that when it comes to learning, the Rambam says that when it comes to learning and you feel like you can motivate other people in their learning by being mean to them, meaning you feel that, the Rambam says, if students, let's say, aren't learning because they're just not smart, they're not smart enough to chap, or because you're not explaining it well enough, or because the inyan is too complicated for them, so then you can't be mean to them, you have to be very patient. But if they're not learning because they're not meeting their potential, they're just being lazy about it, so the Rebbe should, he says, the Rebbe should instill fear in them. He should be very sharp and very to motivate them. And that used to be the minhag. That was in Litta, in the yeshivas in Litta. Forget in Litta, in YU. And the Rav was saying shir in YU. Back before his wife died, the people who were in the shir said they were terrified. The Rav would scream, ah, shikr, says a svara like that. He would, that was the style, to motivate people to meet their potential. So, but the Chavis Yair in this tshuva tries to brush over all of them. He tries to say, no, chas v'shalom, what kind of dialogue could you have in a Beis Medrash if everyone is screaming louder than the next guy? No one's going to hear anything. All they're going to hear is the sound of their own voices. It's never going to accomplish anything. So the Chavis Yair tries to explain how each of those lines is not really mean. It's really a compliment to say all those things, and he tries to kvetch out of all of them. So one of the things he discusses is that when we say Shasik Rav, he says Rav is Rabbi Abba, and Rabbi Abba was a Talmud of Shimon bar Yochai, and therefore he was a big bucky in Nistar, so whatever response he had was in Nistar, and it wasn't meant to be shared. And that's what Shasik Rav is, that he had a response in Nistar about selling a field, two borders that are uneven, and he didn't want to respond in this star. Okay, take it or leave it. But that's how the Chavis Yair suggests in order to get out of this issue. On this Meitzer Echad Katzer says Tosfos Umari Shemeitzer Lekol Dalid Ruchos. The assumption, what about the other two sides, right? We discussed if on one side of the field he gives a long boundary, the other side gives a short boundary. Does he give anything on the other two sides? Right? Does he only identify the field by these two boundaries? Does he give the meaning? These are the north and the south. Does he give east and west? So this is a major discussion. The Ritva asks the question as follows: Mimanavshuch, he says, if he gave three full boundaries and then a fourth short boundary, so why would Rav say that you only get the short side? Rav himself says that if you give three boundaries, you're kana akol chutz mimeitzer ravi. Even if you only give three boundaries, you're kona everything except for the actual line of the fourth boundary. We're going to see that in today's daf. And if we're talking about that he gave two full boundaries and one short boundary, so how could Rav Kahn and Rav Asi say you get Keneged Rosh Tur? They're going to say later on that with three full boundaries that Rav Asi holds, you're only kona Telem Echad. That even if you give three full boundaries, but you never identify where it's going to end, we assume you only get one little row. So how could they say in this case, where it's two full boundaries and one short one, that you get Keneged Rosh Tur? That certainly doesn't make sense. So Manavshach, you run into problems. Either Rav is not Lishitaso, or Rav Asi is not Lishitaso. So the Ritva's Matarets, yeah, it shouldn't be Rav Asi, it should be Rav Ashi. Because in a chinami, it would be Rav Asi against himself if it was Rav Asi. But our Gersos don't have that. Right? We have Rav Asi, we don't have Rav Ashi. So the Rabbein Yonah says that it could be that we're talking about Shnei Mitzarim Shlem, you have two full boundaries and the third one is short. We ask that shouldn't Rav Asi himself say that you don't get Keneged Rosh Tur? He says that no, that when in our Gemara, when Rav Asi says, why don't you say you get Keneged Rosh Tur? He's going L'shitas Rav. He's saying, Rav, Lishi Tascha, that you hold that on three Shleimim, that on three full boundaries, you get the entire field. So over here, you should at least get Keneged Rosh Tur. But Einoch Hanami, he himself would not subscribe to that opinion. Good, the Ritva gives other approaches as well, gives two other approaches as well. I just want to keep it moving a little bit today. So let's get moving weiter. So says the Gemara Vayter, Meitzer Ruvein Mizrach Amarav. That's what we're up to, right? Four, five lines from the bottom of the page. Meitzer Ruvein Mizrach Amarav. Meitzer Shimon Safon V'Darom. Let's say Ruvein owns fields on the east and west side of this field. Shimon owns fields on the north and south side of this field. Sarach L'Michtavle Meitzer Ruvein Ruchen Trin and Meitzer Shimon Ruchen Trin. You need to write in the Shtar that the Meitzer of Ruvein in two directions and the Meitzer of Shimon in two directions, right? You need to mention that it's in two directions. Right, it says why? Says the Rashbam, because if you don't, lo yichtav stam sada zushani morchel acharei b'toch sadas Reuven v'Shimon. The Rashbam says you can't just say I'm selling you the field between Reuven and Shimon's fields. You need to say it borders Reuven on two sides and Shimon on two sides. Why? To us, the mifugle ba'alachson kazeh. If you look at the picture in that Rashbam, you're going to end up getting one line in an angle from the corner of Reuven Shimon to the other corner of Reuven Shimon. And it'll turn out you got something by the border of Reuven and Shimon, but you will not have gotten what you wanted to get, right? So that's why you have to say the full borders, right? You have to say Meitzer Reuven Ruchen Trin, Meitzer Shimon Ruchen Trin, and that way you know you're getting all four ruchos. Fine. Ibailu. Siyem lo sakranos mahu. What if you're misayim lo sakranos? What does that mean? Says the Rashbam. Lashon simin shayusados harbe shel b'nei adam makifin oso. You have lots of fields of a lot of different people surrounding you. V'lo kasavela arba sados shel dalid kranos hasada. Aval orcha v'rachva lo meitzer klal. You didn't. You only wrote the corners. You didn't write all the borders along the full length. Do we assume, well, who sells corners of a field? You obviously meant to sell everything that's within those corners. And that's why you gave the corners. You would just, once you identify the four corners, you could figure everything else that's inside those four corners. Oh, Dilmar, maybe no. Maybe you only sold a single row going across from corner to corner, and you didn't sell everything contained within those corners. So the Gemara leaves that as a question, right? What if you were only siyem lo sakranos? What's the din there? Kmin gam mahu. What if it's kmin gam? What's a gam? A gam, says Rashi, is a Greek letter that looks like a chaf. Kagon shemetzalo karen dromus mizrach, Rashbam rather, kagon shemetzalo karen dromus mizrachis, the karen svonus maravis. You identify the north, the southeast corner and the northwest corner. V'nimtza shemetzah tchilas kol ruach kazeh. And if you look in the picture, in the on the left side of Rashbam, the second to bottom picture, you have identified a little angular portion of land in each opposite corner. So now, the way the Rashbam understands this is the Gemara is building off Imtim Tzolomars. It's not unrelated Shailas. That if you're going to say in the previous Shaila, where you only identified the Kronos, you only identified the corners, that you're only Kona, the Kenegara Kronos, you're only Kona, that X, that goes by the corners, that's because you didn't identify the entire, you didn't identify the side borders. But over here, you started to define the borders also. You just didn't go all the way along the borders. So maybe that includes everything. Maybe you're kona everything. Or maybe all you get is this alachson. All you get is this this line that goes in this angle from one corner to the other, as you see in the bottom picture of the Rashbam. So that's the next shaila. Next shaila, b'seirugin mahu. What about if you identify them skipping the names of the people of the fields that border yours? So what does that mean? So again, the Rashbam understands this as an imtim tzolomar. If you look in the last wide line, imtim tzolomar kamin gam lo kona ela balachzon. If you're going to say kamin gam is only kona that angular line, hainim shum dederech limkar telemecha bein beis sados. That's because it's normal to sell a single long row between two fields. But it's not normal to skip. I mean, you look at the picture the Rashbam has. You have on each border, you have different, two different neighbors on each border of the field, and you only identified one of the neighbors of each border. Right? When you sold the field, you said on the top it borders Reuven, on the left it borders Levi, on the bottom it borders Yisachar, on the right it borders, and you didn't identify both neighbors. So it's not normal to only give a person, to keep skipping over, give him a tiny drop of land, skip that, then another tiny drop, then skip, then another. So that's not normal. So v'raglayim l'davar d'toreach ha'ilo lichtav kulam. So it's not normal because it's normal to sell the whole thing, and it's a big tirchah to write down every single neighbor. So maybe that's why he didn't write down every single neighbor. V'dilgam v'seirugam l'itein meitzer b'kal dalar ruchos. Oh, Dilmar, maybe no. Maybe you have to cut everything into triangles and only get those triangles that border on the people that you identified, and not the triangles that border on the people that you didn't identify. So you cut it up like we have it in the picture over here, and if you identified Yosef but not Binyamin, so you only get that triangle next to Yosef's name and not the triangle next to Binyamin's name. So what's the din? The Gemara says, teku. We leave it as a teku. We don't identify what the halacha is in the end. La halacha, the Gemara leaves it as a teku, so obviously the Rishonim are going to have a machlokas what to do. Rov Rishonim say, you leave the money b'cheskas mocher, motzi mechaver alav haraya. The Rambam says you have to do shuda, and Shulchan Aruch also, paskins that we do with shuda daini, which is interesting. But, the pashtus, one would imagine, it should have been a motzi mechaver alav haraya. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, meitzer lo, meitzer rishon, meitzer sheni, meitzer shlishi. Let's say you identified three borders of the field. You did not identify the fourth border of the field. Amar Rav, kana kol chutz mi meitzer revi. So Rav says you kana everything except for the fourth border of the field. Meaning you're kona the entire field, just that border itself you're not kona. Shmuel amar afilu meitzer revi kana. Shmuel says yeah, you're even kona the fourth border. You don't have to identify it because it's obvious. You don't right. So you're even kona that fourth border. You just didn't bother identifying it. Ravasi amar lo kana elatelam echad al pnei kula. Ravasi says no. If you didn't identify that fourth border, we have no idea how deep you want to give him, how deep of an area of property you want to give him. So you know what we assume? The minimum. We assume you only wanted to give him one row. So if you have, even though you drew three sides, you only give the bottom of the box that you drew, right? So you only give him one row. So Savalak Rav, Damar Shiure Shire, he holds like Rav in principle, in the sense that he holds that it is significant that you didn't identify the fourth border. I mean, the fact that you didn't identify the fourth border means you're leaving something out, like Rav against Shmuel, because Shmuel just thinks, nah, you just didn't identify it because you didn't have to. And the only thing is he goes further than Rav. He takes Rav Shita one step further. He says, okay, I agree with Rav in principle, you're leaving something out, but if you're leaving something, then you might as well be leaving everything out except for the bare minimum of what you might mean. The halacha is you kona everything except for the Meitzer Revi, like Rav. V'lo amran ela d'lo mivla. Aval mivla kana. And that's only, look at the pictures in Rashi of mivla and lo mivla, makes it much easier. And that's only true if the fact that you kona kol except for the Meitzer Revi is only if it's lo mivla. If the Meitzer Revi is outside of the three identified borders. That fourth border that you didn't identify is beyond the three identified borders. But if it's within the three identified borders, as the picture on the left side of Rashi, then you're even kona the Meitzer Revi. You're kona that area of the Meitzer Revi. V'chilomiv l'nami lo amran, and even when it's outside of the identified borders, it's only meant to be excluded if it's significant, right? If it has a richva didikla, it has tishas kavin, it has some significant amount of land in that area. But if it's not a significant amount of land with a significant amount or a significant amount of fruit on the land, then the girsa is, then even if it's not muvla, even if the fourth side is outside of the identified borders that you identified, still you're going to be kona. So basically, in order not to be kona, you need two factors. You need it to be both lo muvla, and you need it to be you need to have a significant amount of land or proper or fruits. Mechal d'chi muvla. So the implication is that when it is muvla, then it doesn't matter how much space you have on it, how much, it makes no difference. Once it's muvla, it's automatically included. It's automatically included in the sale. Others have the conversation the other with a variation, and the variation goes as follows: that Amar Rava Hilchsa Kana Kol Vafilu Meitzer Ravi. The Rava says yes, we pass like Rav that you kona everything, we pass like Shmuel that you kona everything, even the Meitzer Ravi, against Rav. Vilo Amran Ela Demivla Avalo Mivla Lo Kani. But that idea of Shmuel that you kona everything is only when it's Mivla. It's only when the fourth border is within the other three borders. When the fourth border is external to the other three borders, then we would not pass like Shmuel. Then we would say that the fourth border is excluded. V'chi mivla nami, and even when it is mivla, and therefore you would think that it's included, lo amren el delek le rich v'dik v'lavi tishus kavin. It's still only when it's mivla, it's still only included if it doesn't have a significant amount of land or produce on the land in that area. But if it is a significant amount of land, even if it's swallowed up within the other three borders, still you would not be kona. So it's interesting. While the previous lashon started with the starting point of Rav of being makna less, we ended up, by the way we understood Rav in terms of how we applied it, muvla, lo muvla, and how much land there is, we ended up being more inclusive of what will be sold. And while this lashon uses Shmuel as a starting point, that you're including everything, but we limit Shmuel's including everything to so few cases that it's very rare that we actually do include everything. Mechlal, according to this lashon, it implies dechli lo muvla, afal gav deleka le richva dedikla. When it's not muvla, even if there's no richva dedikla avitir shkavin lokani, even if it's not very much on the fourth border is very small, still you would not be kona. Shamin mitravayu lishni derava. But what we see from both the shonos of Rava is the besad de loshir v'lamidi, that in the field itself you're not leaving anything over, meaning you're certainly not only makna telem echad. In the field itself you're giving everything. The whole question is just about the fourth border. V'shamin anami, and we also see the hechad de mivla v'leka le'irich v'dedik of lavi tishus kavin kana. We also see that when you have everything pointing in one direction, that it's the fourth border is muvla in the other three borders, and it's a very small piece of property anyway, then you're for sure kona. When you have everything pointing in the other direction, you're for sure not kona, right? That both the shonos agreed on. Lo mivla, v'ika le'irich v'dedikla. If it's not muvla, right? The fourth border is outside of the other three. And ika le'irich v'dedikla v'avites kavin. And it has a lot. It is a large area. Lo kona. Everyone would agree that you're not kona. Both the shonos would agree. Where do they disagree? Where do these two the shonos disagree? Where you have one factor and not the other. Muvla v'ika le, lo muvla v'leka le. So that's where they disagree. Itmar la lahai gisa, v'itmar la lahai gisa. So one lashon says one way, the other lashon says the other way. So what do we do? Says the Gemara, shuda d'daini. So we leave it up to the dayanim to decide. Says Rashbam, what? Shuda d'daini in this case? Says Rashbam, the kapasa Gemara, shuda d'daini, hashlachas adayanin, me'achad de'mesafkla, navid shuda, hakolofia inyin shiiru adayanin, v'yakiru amokhar eno yafa, ora hakolofia omedaitam. This is Rashbam l'shitaso, that shuda d'daini doesn't just mean they randomly decide, it means they try to figure out what the mocha really intended to do. But he says, umiyu, bishar makomos de'mesafkla, betray lishni, hilchsa kaman, lo amrinan shuda d'daini, you should know that Rashbam says this is an exception. We normally don't do this. Normally when we have two Lashonos and we're not sure which one we paskin like, we don't just say Shuda. Normally we paskin. Or we'll say Amotzi Mechavera Lavaraya. We're going to always assume that he's selling less until you can prove that he was selling you more. Right? That's normally what we're going to do. He says this is highly unusual that we're going to say Shuda. An impressive list of Rishonim, the Rashba, the Ramban, the Ritva, that whole school of Rishonim, say that this entire Lashon of the Gemara, from Vishaminon, Mehani Tre Lishni Derava, until the end, until Shuda D'daini, is all added by the Gaonim. It's not Gemara. It's all Rabbi Yehudai Gaon's addition to the Gemara. And the reason they say that is they point out that they have to tell you that this is from Rabbi Yehudai Gaon, so that you can realize that there must have been some sort of Gaonic tradition that in this case we apply Shuda D'daini. But you should know, typically in the Gemara, in these types of cases, we don't say Shuda D'daini. It's not normal to say Shuda D'daini in this type of case. in the Gemara. This was Dafka in our Gemara. And Tosus also addresses the point. Says Tosus, whether you have a suffix in what happened, whether you have a suffix in halacha, we always say Hamotzi mechaver olav haraya. Over here it's different. The Chum decided over here that they're going to do a shuda. At the end of Tosos, Tosos says that Heichad lo mefarish Gemara midi is on the Meimar Motzi Mechaver Olav Raya. Typically, when the Gemara doesn't pass, can we say Motzi Mechaver Olav Raya? Typically, Heichad lo merhilchsa lo kamar velo kamar. Typically, when we don't pass in one way or the other, but there are two shitos, and the Dayan holds like one of those shitos because he's able to make up his own mind, so we say, okay, whatever he did is binding, right? Maida Avid Avid. And if the Dayan himself is Mesupak, so he has to paskin Amotzi Mechavero Alaf Haraya. That's typically, but this is an unusual case. Okay.